This service may contain views and opinions which are those of the authors and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of any other author, agency, organization, or employer, or company, including the broker. Comments published by users are their sole responsibility, and the users will take full responsibility, liability, and blame for any liable litigation that results from something written in or as a direct result from something written in a comment. The brochure is not liable for any comment published by users and reserves the right to delete any comment for any reason whatsoever. No, seriously, seriously. Stop it, stop it. Thank you. Thank you, thank you all. Thanks so much for coming. All right. Thank you all. All right, welcome. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Bro Show.
Yay!
All right, so Aaron, you were saying earlier that you do tours now. You're explaining that a little bit, and I guess explain where you go and what you do and what that's all about.
So my first one is next month. It's at Waverly Hills. So I have the whole place to myself, and I set up an event where people can come and investigate with me. It usually goes for 6 to 8 hours. I mean, you can stay as long as you want, but that's usually how long investigations go. So, you know, everyone can use the equipment that I bring. I can kind of teach them how to ghost hunt and kind of get a feel for it without, you know, going off on their own for the first time.
Do you hit all 300K square feet?
You know what? Last time I did.
Nice. So,
it's a long walk. Yeah. No.
Yeah. So you got good calves is what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, is there training that goes into it? Like, you know,
I'm sure there's an etiquette. Yeah. I think like training etiquette, that sort of thing, the do's and don'ts. Tell us a bit about that.
You know, everyone's different when it comes to investigating. There's some that like to provoke spirits. I don't really like that.
There's a couple of them around here.
I'd be scared.
They would have a field day with you. I love that. Because the more that you want to provoke them, the more they're like, yes, let's do this. and let's see if we can scare him. Because they have the advantage, you know, you don't know they're there, and then there they are, and they'll push you or ignore you. And that's even worse to a ghost hunter if you come back and say, hey, I investigated this place like Waverly and I have nothing. Some ghost hunter I am. So, you know, you got to be careful with that.
But okay, so what would be the rundown you would give us like before we went?
Just keep an open mind. That's the number one thing. Don't expect everything to be paranormal. That's something that a lot of people, you know, when you go in, you think, oh, I just heard something over there. It must be a ghost. And you know, you're all like freaked out because it's all dark and scary, but a lot of times it's just, you know, an old building making noises. So definitely keep that in mind. Try not to irritate the spirits, even though sometimes that's hard because sometimes it's really funny. especially, you know, when they're telling you to fuck off or whatever. just, you know, I'm one of those that likes to take it really slow and just kind of like sit and let them come to me versus me chasing them all about. Cause first of all, I'm kind of lazy when it comes to that. Second of all, if it happens, it happens. I use a lot of cameras, so I will leave them throughout and just let the cameras do the work. And then, I come back to home base and see what happened. Just keep an open mind. Don't go in with great expectations because a lot of times no two experiences are the same.
So like hunting in any shit luck, right? You know,
right.
And it seems to be that way, but in anything or looking for love, as some of the guys out here on the brochure know, it's the more you force it, it never seems to come, right?
No. sending it for 3 a.m. DM.
3 a.m.
DM. 3 a.m. DM. Set Mr. Blue's constantly.
Don't always work out.
Yeah.
Aaron, do you set traps for ghosts? What does that look like?
Great question. I, you know, that wouldn't that be cool? As an avid fan of Ghostbusters, you know, I've always wanted to be able to do that. But no, it just doesn't work that way. The closest I've gotten is my cameras. Just kind of leave them and let them do their thing. And I get more activity that way. They've thrown the camera. I have motion activated cameras, and I get an alert on my phone if it picks up something, and I pulled it up once and my camera just went flying. I was like, oh, great. So they do know that what the camera is, and a lot of times they don't like it. So sometimes that'll get some activity out. That's the closest I have to a trap though.
Right. Yeah. There's no magic potion, but it's interesting you say about technology and you set those up. It's almost like, do you find more activity or, you know, do you just set them up randomly?
Usually it's strategic. I will get information from people that have went before and they'll tell me, you know, this place is more active than that. But I try to use as many cameras as possible to cover as much ground as I can. I use like a lot of GoPros and motion activated. And, you know, over time, I've just accumulated so many that I have enough to really cover the locations. But, you know, there's sometimes where it's that one spot I don't have a camera, but I happen to be sitting there and I'll catch it. Otherwise, you know, it's just dumb luck, honestly.
Well, I want to ask you a question. Can ghosts speak in different languages? Like, or can they understand?
Probably. Yes. Yeah? I don't know if they can understand. Maybe they can. But I do know that I've spoken to them and what German I know, because I had a German spirit at this old house. It was a lady who lived in Germany almost all of her life, but she came over here and this is where she passed. I know some German, so I was able to get a little bit of a dialogue with her. And then I have some friends in Miami and they all speak Spanish and they can converse with these spirits, whether they're Hispanic or not. And they were conversing back and forth in Spanish. So
you said you do a lot of playbacks when you like go back and watch. So you know how fast forward on Netflix, like he can do like 2 times or 32 times or like this number. Is there like a certain number when you play back that you do the most? Or
like
the most
picks accurate? Up the sound better, I guess.
Not really. Usually this is the worst part of Ghost Hunting, honestly. When you're done, you have to go through all the footage individually and you just have to sit there and listen to all of it. And 8 hours times, you know, tons of cameras is a long time. But the speeds, not so much. Amplifying the volume helps.
Mostly like real-time playback kind of thing?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Usually real time is good enough. I mean, sometimes, you know, if it's really, really soft spoken and they say it really fast, slowing it down helps. But definitely the amplification, that's the best.
Okay, amplification, got it.
But what is, you know, kind of the worst components, you talk about it, of the job?
The reviewing can be monotonous, which, I mean, it's okay. But after a while, you know, you get so tired, you probably miss things. And that's it makes for a long week because it takes days to do it. But also the downtime during investigations. Like I said, we're there 6, 8, 12 hours. And sometimes, you know, nothing's going on and it becomes very boring. And if you're tired because, you know, it's overnight and you've probably been up for 16 hours already, it's very exhausting. And that's probably the worst part.
Yeah, I'm fully empathetic. Most of that is about, you know, I can't relate to ghost hunting, but, you know, the amount of time that I spent with these guys.
Well, I was just about to say, to cut you completely off. It was just kind of like listening to you ask that question. It was like, you know, very frustrating, painstaking, annoying, redundant, you know, amongst
Aaron, I apologize. For once, it's nice to have an educated person in the room.
It's nice to have an actually educated person.
Real educated person.
Thank you. Verified
as well.
Yeah.
Verified. Certified.
Certified.
This guy's a certified idiot. Full step.
Again, we'll go back to education qualifications. But again, Aaron, no, that was.
All right. And tell us a bit more about Waverly. I don't think we've really gotten into that, have we? Like, I know it's come up a lot, but tell us the history about that place. And, you know, I know it's like a hotspot out for you. Obviously, you keep, you know, mentioning it that you're going to start doing tours there. So tell us a bit more about that.
So there was a TB hospital back in, I don't know, early 1900s. I don't know how long it lasted for. It's huge. It's 200,000-300,000 square feet. It's really, really big. There's a place called a body chute where they were actually taking the bodies out so that the other people that were with the same affliction, tuberculosis, didn't see them and become depressed and say, hey, this is what's going to happen to me. Thousands of people died. We don't know exactly how many. I've heard anywhere from 20,000 upwards to 100,000 all died in that building. So that's a lot of death. All different ages, kids, adults, elderly. It's just, it's a horrible feeling, you know, to know that so many people suffered there. It's a pretty dark place. A
lot of energy there, right? Yeah. Are spirits different heights? Like, so if you were shorter in this life, you'll be short. Why are you laughing, Mr. Blue? Why would you be laughing, Mr. Blue?
Nothing. It's just
once in my life or afterlife, maybe I could have known what it was like to dunk a basketball is all I'm saying.
It's not happening. Well,
that's it.
Not,
that's it. No, not that's a, it. That's all I'm saying.
I know Napoleon was a great height, by the way.
Yeah. His spirit is probably fairly low to the ground, just like mine will be.
That's ever seen a spirit like walk by?
You know what? That's okay, because if like we ever were to ever all burn in a building, you guys will die sooner than I, because lower to the ground. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I get it. It's your just world. I get it.
So then, I know. It's graphic. Yeah. Sorry.
So then Aaron,
and then Aaron, I will haunt you guys like the little gremlin that I am.
All later.
Don't you talk, Mr. Blonde. Yeah, you also are short. You suffer from, you know, you are vertically challenged as well. Right?
No, I was just going to say that Aaron will find us all later down the road because our lives will expire much sooner than hers.
You will know if you ever come to Canada ghost hunting and you come across two leprechauns and a yeti. then you will know you have found the brochure.
That's right. Pretty much.
Yeah.
Okay. Before I get so off topic, because for whatever reason we have.
Oh, we've been on topic.
Have we? I'm trying. Yeah,
check the game log.
Trying.
Check the game log.
Okay. Check the game log.
Okay. So Tombstone. Now that's a real cool one. Want to hear a lot about Tombstone, actually.
So that one was really hot. That's what that was. It was like 122 degrees when I got there. And these places, they don't really have air conditioning, or at least not good air conditioning. So it was really hot. And it was hard to focus. I did the Birdcage Theater there, which I don't know if you've ever seen the movie. People are obsessed with the movie. Yeah, the Birdcage. Yeah. So that's where they did all their shows, and they shot at the people standing on stage, you know, because why not? That place, the only thing that I picked up there was odd music, which was really weird. It was just like playing in the background, almost like a melody, but it wasn't like
those
playing
automatic pianos that they used to have back in the day.
Yes.
Or they would just like wind them up and let them go.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what it was like, which was really weird because I didn't hear anything while I was there, but it's very clear on the playback again. But that was really the only experience at the Birdcage. The other place I went to is called Boot Hill Graveyard, and that's where all of the cowboys were buried after, you know, they were shot. That place is really, really cool. When you go in, you get this brochure that tells you how each person died, and everybody was in a gunfight. And while I was there, I got a couple of weird, like, anomalies. I don't know exactly how else to explain it, but there were anomalies in photos that could be considered spirits, but you know, it's kind of hard to prove because people can say it's a trick of light or whatever, but they were definitely odd. And then other than that, I just got a few spikes on my EMF reader. We call it K2. But other than that, Tombstone was, for me, not very act, which is kind of sad, but at the same, time, I got to go to Tombstone. So,
right. Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
I have a question for you, Aaron. What do you think happens when you die?
I really don't know, to be honest. Something happened for sure, because I've gotten too much evidence to the contrary. You know what I mean? Like, absolutely. Something happened, but I don't know.
To elaborate a little bit more, like, have any spirits tried to communicate with you about their death, or like?
No, I haven't. Usually when we hear stuff from them, it's one or two words, because it's a lot of energy for them to expel. I've talked to different people, like mediums, and you know, some people claim they're mediums and they're not. And then if I talk to one, I'm gonna put them through the ringer, you know. I'm gonna test them,
right?
And like, they're right. gonna absolutely
fucking right.
It's
that's awesome.
Yeah, so I mean, there are mediums, because I've had people tell me stuff that only I can know. And then I've had people that, you know, say, oh yeah, you were, you know, you knew this person back in Scotland. I'm like, I've never been to Scotland in my life. So, you know, you're not, you know, so they have different theories. You know, there's some that like, they think that some spirits like to hang around just because they like it. They think others are afraid of judgment or whatever. Some move on, some don't. So, I mean, that's kind of where I am. Some move on, some don't.
Yeah.
Do you think you get to watch your own funeral though? Like when you die, do you think you get to see your funeral?
Probably. Probably.
Would you be mad if you were like, I can't believe this person never came, and you're like, why is this person crying? I never even liked this person.
I could see me doing that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Fucking poser. I didn't even like that guy. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. I could see me doing that. Yeah.
I haven't seen that guy in years.
Okay, Ern, I know you've been really busy lately with all the promotions with your new book, Hauntings Around America, Volume 2. You were telling us earlier you have a TV interview with CBS Seattle. Tell us a little bit about the new book and what it's been like, and all the promotions. And
it's been hectic. It's the side of the business that scares me.
Right.
Not the ghost. Yeah. I started the press tour a couple of weeks ago. I've done like Fox Chicago and Cincinnati, Louisville. So I'm going to do Seattle tomorrow. And it's pretty much just, you know, to get the word out about Hauntings Around America, Volume 2, which is in addition to Volume 1, which is spotlighting different locations around America. This one's a lot bigger than the first one. The first one only had certain states. This one has all 50 states, and some have up to 5 or 6 stories per state.
Now, do you go to each location?
There's one in particular called the Stone Mansion. I started to research that one. I had never heard of it before. And the history was really interesting. It was this general from the Civil War, even though he never left his house. I don't think he was that kind of general, you know. But he had this huge grand house, and the stories were, you know, he's everywhere. He's angry. He doesn't want you there. All kinds of mysterious things happen. And I'm thinking, I've never even heard of this place. So I booked it to investigate, and I investigated it by myself, and it was really active. And actually, it blew me away. It was even more active than the stories. So that one's a really cool one. It's in Indiana, close to Ohio. The house itself is huge. It's like 8,000 square feet. It's an old Victorian. It's really interesting because General Stone was said to be pretty short. He was like 4'10". And he had all of his doorknobs were really low.
Lowered.
Like lower. Really low. Yeah. Yeah. And they're still
wheelchair accessible. One could say wheelchair accessible, right?
That would work. It's a really unique house. It is really, it's definitely made for his taste, and he is still there. I got this crazy scream on one of my cameras that I didn't hear. And then I caught an apparition standing right in front of me. I don't think it was him because it was taller than me. that was a really cool place, and I had researched it for my book. And so I was like, I'll check it out. And so it's a really unknown place, but one of the most active I've ever investigated.
And sorry, where was that? Like
Winchester, Indiana.
Nice.
So right on the Ohio border. It's a really cool place.
Wow. Talked about in our previous episode a little bit about, you know, the power struggle for shorter people. Mr. Brown, myself, you know, it sounds like this individual himself, you know, went to great lengths to make sure that his stature was represented appropriately.
No, he was legally a dwarf.
Right.
Or a little person. Right. Sorry. Right.
Just changed policy. Person.
No, but yeah. I know. Because my mom is 4'11", and I remember she's like, shh, right? Yeah. She just missed the cut, right? She can actually go on the big kid rides, you know, down the, you know, the big water slides, you know.
Aaron, I have a question, not to interrupt these guys, but I do it frequently and often because it feels good. But
yeah, just get to the question.
Really, though. We've heard a lot of pieces. I don't know how well traveled you are. I myself am a little bit well traveled, but have you been to Canada? I'm not representing, you know, exactly where we're from, but you know, do you know of any really good haunted places in Canada?
I have been to Canada a couple times. Over near Toronto. I have not investigated there yet. I was younger when I went. I want to, and hopefully now, you know, that things are different, I can. Yeah, right. I would love to. I have a lot of followers from there, and there was one particular place that keeps coming up. It was a lighthouse somewhere over there, and I really want to check it out. The stories are really cool. This lightkeeper, is he shows up all the time, so I really want to check that out. I'll have to look up the name of the place again, but it kept coming up. 5 or 6 different people told me about it.
That's interesting.
Mr. Blue, I know you got a few questions.
No, do you think a Canadian ghost would be like, hey, how's it going, eh?
Yeah. That would be awesome. No, you know what? They do have different accents. I caught one with a New York accent once. It was so strong. I was like, oh yeah, I know where you're from.
That's awesome.
That's fantastic.
Do you remember what he said? Like the New Yorkian? Was he like, hey, like get the beep out of here. Like get out of here.
Get out of here.
Would that be funny? I don't remember what he said. I know it was a male and I know it was a New York accent, but I'll have to find it. This was a long time ago, like 10 years ago or something.
It stood out though, so obviously
it did. You know what was really funny is because right beforehand I was like, hey, you know, I don't hear anybody with a New York accent, because we were in New York at the time and nobody had the accent. I was like, I came all the way here and I want to hear the accent. And then he responds with that accent. He wasn't talking like that beforehand. He was just talking like, you know, a spirit, but then he kind of like shifted. And I looked at my friend, I was like, did you hear that? And she's like, yeah. Is he really responding? I was like, yeah, he is.
The cat.
Yeah, exactly.
In the car.
I'll have to find it. Yeah. I don't know where it's at, though.
Yeah.
Somebody probably like fan picking on a Dodgers fan.
Forget pretty about much. It.
You like that deep dish?
I do. That's the Chicago one in me, you know, the deep dish.
Aaron, what are future goals for a paranormal investigator?
For me personally, you know, just getting to as many places as I can get. Last year, I got 21 states investigated, hoping for more this year. Because, you know, the more evidence you get, the closer you are to proving more definitively, I guess. You know, I mean, obviously, there's not a ton of money in ghost hunting. If a TV show or something, you know, that would be awesome to get a TV show out of it. But those are few and far between. So
how many countries?
So far, only 2. I really want to get over to England, UK. I want to check out these castles. I have to check out a castle. Hopefully that is coming soon. I have a couple contacts there and they've been inviting me. And again, now that we have the green light, hopefully we can do that.
Because obviously it's probably the older the spot, right, the more activity,
I would think. So
right,
yeah, I mean, it makes sense. But you know, we have a lot here in America and ours isn't near as old as out there, but you know, the castles, they were so brutal with what they did to people. So yeah, you would think some of those spirits, it seems to me that the more brutal or abrupt the death, the more haunted it is. So
now, have you ever been like, I guess, just walking down the street or whatnot and just felt like presence or that sort of thing? Like
for me personally, I have to really be focusing to pay attention to the shift of the energy. So I when I'm out, I usually have all 3 of my kids and you know, they're going 15 different directions.
Yeah,
so I can't even focus on it.
Noticed, right?
No, but I've heard of people that are able to. I've been to certain memorials that, you know, I wasn't going for any kind of ghosting, or and I was able to pick up on it. But just out at the store, there's so much going on that you can't really attribute it to it.
And you say ghost. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Sorry. You say ghosting. It's kind of like a term. Do you ghost him or do you ghost you? I know myself haven't been ghosted more than once. I'll leave it at that. But
more than once by the same person. That's what he means.
Yeah, is that the same day or same person?
Same day. But yeah, just another day in my life.
So Alcatraz, what about that?
I want to go there. I haven't been there, but I want to go there. I've spotlighted it. I've talked to people that have been there. Right. Brandon, he was on Ghost Hunters. He was just telling me all about it, and or like I posted my spotlight because I do that on Instagram. He's like, I've been there, it's such a cool place. And I was like, you have to tell me more. So I went and pulled up his episode where they went there. I was like, I have got to go to this place. There's a lot going on. There's some really dark stuff there though. So I'm gonna have to have a full team with me for that one.
Yeah, for sure, right?
Yeah.
When you say full team, what does that look like for you?
Usually it's only 3 to 4 people. I don't like to have a lot. It's usually just 3 or 4 people.
Is there like portals or something? Can they move, or are they basically, you know, confined to a certain area?
This is pure speculation, but I think they're kind of combined because the locations don't seem to get any less haunted, you know, and I would think if they could move around, then, you know, they probably would. They're the legends, you know, like the Gettysburg ghosts, you know, they've been around for 160 years or whatever, but they're still in Gettysburg. I have certain antiques that are haunted. I'm a big antique collector, and like some of the stuff back here that was used in the Civil War.
I was going to ask you about
bring
that.
Stuff. Yeah.
Is that chair haunted?
No, this is a reproduction. So no, not the chair, but this sword is from the Civil War. Wow. And as soon as I brought it home, my husband started having all these like nightmares. And it was pretty bad. And he kept thinking he was in the Civil War. And then I set up some cameras, of course I did. And I started getting movement, you know. It was moving around on its own. It was kind of doing this. And then I took it downstairs, and I think one of you guys asked me about my animals earlier. I kind of unsheathed it. And my dogs freaked out, and you know, they're not afraid of anything, but they freaked out and they won't go near this at all. It freaks them out. So it's got something.
So it freaks your pets out, it freaks your husband out, and of course
you. And I love it. Right? Yeah.
You know the kryptonite, right? Yeah.
Exactly. Yes, it's my baby. So
awesome. Yeah. Have you ever noticed along your path, you've seen a lot of places, but have you ever noticed a correlation between animals' reactions into the environment that you're investigating?
Yeah. We come across a lot of bats in these places.
A lot of what?
Bats? Bats. Yeah. Bats. Yeah. Who like to fly at our heads a lot. And we don't see them coming. But they seem to be concentrated in certain areas of a location. And if they're concentrated in an area, usually it's not too bad. But if you go to the places where they're not, it's usually really active. But that's really the only experiences, because most of the places I go to are pretty much abandoned. I mean, maybe you'll get, you know, some kind of wild animal. We come across raccoons and stuff all the time, but you know, we scare each other when we see each other. So
Mr. Blue, you run into many raccoons in your lifetime?
I've been raccooned.
Have you ever encountered like another ghost hunter while ghost hunting? Be like, oh, like, what are you doing?
Like, is that a turf war? Yeah, what happens there? What happens there? It's like this is my shop, motherfucker. Right? Do you break his mic?
Take your shit, Samsung, not even Apple. Get out of here. Yeah, like.
That would be hysterical. That's like a perfect reality TV show, right? Turf. 4th Ghost Hunters edition. 100%.
like the Repo Wars version of fucking Ghost Hunters.
Yeah, no, that would be hysterical. No, we don't usually run into each other. Oh, okay. Usually because they're private, so they're booked ahead of time.
For sure, but
what would you do though? Like, have you had to get hostile with other people, like just to get your ghost hunt in?
No. You know, like I said, I'm pretty laid back. I you know, if it's something where I'm there by myself and it's like a public investigation, I kind of get annoyed if people crowd around me when I'm trying to do something. But you know, if I'm hosting an event or something, that's fine. You know, I know that going in. But if I'm there solo and I'm trying to focus on something, sometimes that can, I don't want to say annoying, because I know people have questions and I understand that. But you know, when you're trying to focus, or you need it to be quiet for like an EVP session and someone's just, you know,
you're in yapping your the day away.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you have an army of ghosts that you use and have trained, like, for your own arsenal, like after all these years?
I should have one. I should have one. No, I don't. You know, usually because, you know, they want me to fuck off. So, they don't want to work out with me.
Okay, I got a question. All right, so I don't know if you believe in aliens or not. I do, right? So have you ever encountered a spirit that you would consider not from this world, if that makes sense? Maybe they're all not from this world. I don't know if that...
Alien, not that I don't believe in them, because anything's possible. But no, I've never come across that. I have come across things that I would consider demonic, but not otherworldly like that. Just demonic would be the only other spirit, I guess, I've come across.
When you say demonic in comparison to other spirits, what's the difference?
They're really dangerous. So the theory is, a human spirit can't move more than like 10 pounds. A demonic spirit can pick up anything. They can move it around. They can possess you. I have seen that happen, and it is horrifying. They're usually the ones that scratch. They push. They're very, very nasty. It's very rare. In all of my years investigating, I've only come across 3 times. So, you know, you leave that and you're really shaken up after you do something with them. You usually feel really nauseous. Like you just drank a ton the night before, you know, it's that's what it feels like. It's really scary. The possession especially is really scary.
So now you say you've seen that. Like, what was that like?
It was terrifying because, so we were, this is a crazy story, so bear with me here. We were sitting in the middle of that jail, the John Dillinger jail that I was talking about. It was just me and my mom. I brought her along because my husband said he's not going on any investigations. It's not happening, not doing it. So I drug my mom. And we were sitting in the area they call the Universal area, because that's where they filmed the movie Public Enemies when they did the John Dillinger movie. So it's the only part of the jail that's been redone. The rest of it is really treacherous. So we were sitting there and we had some of the lights on, and I saw what looked like a bat fly, and we already knew that there were bats there. And I was like, oh, wow, did you see that bat? It was huge. And she looked over, and it was over on the other side by this point, but it looked like a big circle. And then it went around again. And each time it kept getting bigger. And she's like, Aaron, that's not a bat. And I was like, what the hell is it then? You know, I mean, obviously it's a bat. But then it started going faster. Like, a bat wouldn't fly that fast. So I was like, we need to leave. We need to leave right now. So we start going down the stairs, and we get about halfway down, and her whole demeanor changes. And she's like, we need to go back up. Her voice completely changed. I was like, well, no, we're not going back up. Did you see that thing? And she's like, we need to go back up. We need to go back up. And she starts walking up the stairs. I'm like, what the hell are you doing? Get down here. And it's like, she wasn't even seeing me. And I started like banging on the chain next to me, trying to get her attention. Nothing was getting past this. And I have this on camera, but out of respect for her, I won't show it. because she was completely vulnerable, and her face was just devoid of emotion. Her voice was just just completely just not her. And I finally was able to drag her out of there. And as soon as we closed the door, it's like a light went on and she's just herself again. It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. And later we found out from the owner that where we were at is a place called Possession Corner, because a whole bunch of people have been possessed in that area. And I was like, that would have been great to know ahead of time.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. You ever meet any like celebrity ghosts?
No, but that would be really cool.
I was gonna ask if you met John Dillinger, but
I wish he was there. That would be so cool. But no, I don't think he's hanging around there. The closest I came was at a place called Widow McClary's in Chicago. It was a place where Al Capone used to off his people. and we were doing an EVP session and we asked, did you know Al Capone? And the response was, yes, I knew Al well. But that's the closest I've ever gotten to.
Still scary, pretty cool. Yeah. I can only imagine.
Wow. All right. So Aaron, that's going to do it for us. And, you know, everyone here at the Brochel, want to thank you so much for coming out. Really appreciate your time. You know, you gave us much more than we even expected. And I know you have a very busy schedule. Like we said, you're authoring now 4 books, tours, promotions, that sort of thing going on. So Aaron, do you want to tell everybody where they can follow you on social media, what you've got going on, that sort of thing?
Well, first of all, thank you guys for having me. I'm on Instagram, mostly on Instagram. I'm also on Facebook. I usually post, you know, different spotlights of haunted locations, or if I'm on an investigation, I'll post whatever I'm doing. All my books are on Amazon, Kindle, paperback, and some hardcover for hauntings around America. I don't think the diaries are on there. You can always come on my website. I have tons of stories on there. I usually do some giveaways, and all events are usually posted on there or Facebook.
Definitely hope to have you back here after a bit. And again, thanks so much, Aaron. Yeah, thanks so much for coming out. And, you know, I'm sure we're going to get a lot of good feedback from the show. And, you know, we'll definitely reach out and have you back again if you got the time. And, yeah, really overwhelmed. Thanks again so much. Really appreciate it. And check her out, her new book, Hauntings Around America, Volume 2. And that's it. Thanks, everyone.
It's on Amazon. Buy the book.
That's right. And thank you, Aaron. I've been thinking of a lot of career changes lately. So if you are looking for an addition to your team, I can't speak for the rest of everybody else's resume.
Yeah, you can't speak at all because you never finish anything. I mean, it's painful. It's Jesus. Yay! Everyone, that's our show for this week. I want to thank everyone for coming. I want to thank the community believers for all the support. I want to thank all the cast, everyone involved with the show. We hope everyone had as much fun as we did. Don't forget to follow us on social media, and don't forget to tell your friends all the fun you had here with us tonight here at The Brochel. This has been a Hendog production.